right, thanks, Kane. 806 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Yeah, we'll get conversation going with our buddy Quinn Hillier in just a second. I do want to point out, I had a story yesterday. If you didn't catch it, you weren't listening yesterday. You spend, I think they did, it's like over 2 years of your life cleaning.
Mm-hmm.
Two years of your life cleaning.
That's insane.
And I've been telling you about the maids and the great work they're doing at our house. And I thought about it this way. You can, because when you think about hiring somebody like the maids, you're thinking about your clean house. And that's valid. That's good. You think about that clean house. But in addition to the clean house, how about the time back in your life? And that's the part maybe you don't think about. You think about, okay, we get the maids, we're going to come in, the house is going to be spick and span, it's going to be clean from baseboard to ceiling fan, and I agree. I mean, that's what happens at our house. They do fantastic work. But on top of that, how much time out of your week, let alone your lifetime, are you spending cleaning the house? And what could you do with that? Could you be making money, spending time with family, enjoying a hobby, whatever it is? Give yourself the gift of time as much as the gift of clean when you get the maids to come to your place. You can get a free estimate right now from them at 344-6626. 344-6626 for the maids, or just Google the maids for Mobile and Baldwin County and get that free estimate now. 344-6626, and get those years back in your life. All right, it's time to check in with the man behind QuinnHillier.com, also the author of Mad Jones, the trilogy, available on Amazon right now. Hey, Quinn.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning, and it is go day in Washington as the Senate, I guess, gets... I mean, they were started on this last week, but they vote on rules today, right, and get started in earnest this week with the impeachment proceedings.
Yes, and by rule, once they start this, they're not supposed to take up anything else. So no other business will get done while they're in the trial. At least that's the rule. That's the precedent.
Depends on what day you ask me. I might say that's a good thing, but.
Exactly.
Some days that would be good, but yeah, this is like going back to a civics lesson for a lot of us, because this is not kitchen table stuff that we know how this works.
Well, that's because the Constitution is not very specific. It just says the Senate shall be the Senate shall be the sole trier of impeachments, and it pretty much leaves to the Senate how to do it. The Senate does have standing rules, adopted in 1986, that are supposed to be sort of a guidepost, although even those can be changed. But the standing rules are the Senate can pretty much do whatever it wants, but it does have to at least start the trial, and then there are all sorts of things about how the Senate can ask questions. They can't actually, the senators can't actually talk. They have to submit written questions up to either the president, or in this case it's the Chief Justice of the United States, and then the Chief Justice rules on any motions. But he can defer to the parliamentarian before he makes his rules. And then even after he rules, if somebody challenges it, it only takes a simple majority to overturn his rule. So he's not like the presiding judge whose rule is final. He is giving basically his best advice based on the law and the precedent. But then they can say, well, we don't care about law and precedent. This is politics, and they can overrule him.
Okay, so, I want to go back to a second to think that'll leave a lot of people slack-jawed is the fact that it'll be closed-jawed for the senators for what could be 12-hour days. They don't get to say anything, and I heard also that Chief Justice Roberts is going to strictly enforce the no smartphone, no cell phone ban. So you're telling me the senators don't get to say anything and don't get to be tweeting or sending emails or anything like that?
This could be the single best thing that's happened to America in decades. If the senators can't talk and they can't tweet, we're in good shape then.
It's going to be, I mean, I think we'll all be watching for that 12-hour window saying, so-and-so tweeted, knowing that they're not, maybe it's a staffer. But, yeah, they I mean, you just said it. They can't say anything. They just have to sit and listen.
which is what jurors have to do in a trial, by the way. So that is one way in which this is like a trial. The way that it's not like a trial is Mitch McConnell is trying as hard as he can to sort of stack the deck, for better or worse, in a way that helps the defense. He's not just acting like a court, like a judge and jury. He is acting like the head of the defense team. And so I'm not saying that he should do that, but that's what he's doing. And so he is built into these rules, if they are adopted today, every chance for the Senate to cut things short. He gives several options several times during the trial for the Trump team just to make a motion to dismiss the whole proceedings. And he's trying to do it in a way that keeps John Bolton and others from testifying. They seem to be deathly afraid of what John Bolton might say. And so here's what to expect. There are four or five Republican moderate senators who are in a tight spot, because if they go completely along with McConnell, they lose a lot of the people in the center, and they're in very dicey states to get reelected anyway. But if they rule against McConnell, then a lot of their conservative voters are just going to stay home, without which they can't win either. So they need to play both sides. So here's what McConnell's doing. He is going to allow a number of different motions at different times, this is my prediction, that would let witnesses testify. And so, say on motion one, to let John Bolton testify, you might get Susan Collins and Mitt Romney to vote yes, but Lisa Murkowski and Lamar Alexander to vote no. So the motion fails, he doesn't testify. Then, 3 hours later, there's another motion to have him testify, and this time Collins and Romney vote no, but Murkowski and Alexander vote yes. So the motion still fails, but they get to go home and tell their people, well, I voted to let him testify. I voted for fairness. I just didn't do it every time because I didn't think it was the right time, blah, 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 blah. So he's going to get a series of votes where everybody gets a vote on record in a way that plays both sides.
Oh, that's cheap.
I pretty much guarantee you that that's what's going to happen. They are trying to keep John Bolton from testifying. Again, you might think he should testify, you might think he shouldn't, but whether you do or not, that's what McConnell's aim is.
That's really interesting. I hadn't thought of them doing that. And there's, Quinn, there's been a lot of talk about the four Republicans who might flip-flop on the votes. But what about Democrats? Do you think that they will all hold strong on the same line? Or I know we've got, Doug Jones right here in Alabama. I'm thinking of Joe Manchin in West Virginia. Any chance that any of the Democrats switch to the other side for some of these votes?
Doug Jones and Joe Manchin are the two most likely. They are not likely to switch on procedural votes, but I would be willing to bet right at the start that when it finally gets time, if they actually vote up or down whether to remove from office, I guarantee you that both of them vote no on Article 2, which is the obstruction of justice charge. And again, that lets them have it both ways.
No, it's obstruction of Congress, right? Not justice.
What? Yes, it's obstruction of
Congress.
But yeah. it's an obstruction charge.
Okay. And, just want to clarify.
And so they might both vote yes to remove on the central charges on the abuse of power, but vote no on the other one. Procedurally, again, I expect them to stay with their leader, Chuck Schumer.
But they will be able to, there'll be a chance for them to have a little bit of a parachute.
There might be. I mean, it depends. I mean, it could be that McConnell sees things about to go south and so goes to what's known as being called the kill vote, where he allows he's got built-in rules several different places where the Trump team can move for dismissal. Well, if things start going south, or if Schiff, the Democrat, starts to be a jerk, which he can easily do, and tries to sort of make a mockery of the proceedings from the other side, he can have the Trump team move to dismiss, and if he can get 51 votes, poof, it's gone.
Okay, what's that timeline? When does that happen?
Well, there's one at the very, just about the very beginning. The Trump team would be sort of silly to force a vote on that quickly, unless they want to give Susan Collins a chance to vote against them, so she can have one of her test votes to go brag to the moderates back home. But they're not going to win the vote to dismiss immediately. But there are several other options. The way I understand it, if the rules are adopted as he drew them up yesterday, there are several other options for a kill vote.
Quinn, with Adam Schiff and Jerry Nadler being two of the members of the 17 manager team that were sent from the Democrat House, do they serve? Are they basically serving as the prosecution? And also, will that open up the window of opportunity for Trump's legal team to question Schiff and Nadler on this whole process?
They can't be questioned on the process because. They are the prosecuting team. Now, Nadler was head of the Judiciary Committee. It would have been crazy just really weird not to put him on the prosecutorial team. I think Nancy Pelosi made a big mistake appointing Adam Schiff, because Adam Schiff turns off half the country just to start with, because he's so controversial and has a record of not entire honesty, shall we say. So that hurts her case, even though he's a very smart guy and knows how to organize things. But they will not be able to be questioned as witnesses unless something really, really weird happens. I mean, basically, Chief Justice Roberts would rule against the lawyer, in effect, being called a witness. The senators would have to overturn that ruling, and that is going to look really, really weird if they try that.
And Quinn, what's your estimate on timeline here? I mean, we've been given, they go in at noon, and they're there for maybe 12 hours or so each day. But they've said this could last 3 to 4 weeks. Is that a for sure? What's your feeling on that? What's your take?
Oh, I don't think that McConnell's going to let it go that long if he can help it. I think he wants it to be done. What he's done is shorten the time period. They have even less time at the start to make their case than was available during the Clinton trial, even though in the Clinton trial, everybody, both sides pretty much stipulated to 95% of the facts. Here, there's a big dispute over the facts, but he's allowing only 2 days for the House to lay out its original case. And they only have 24 hours within those 2 days. So what
that seems like plenty to me. I what am I missing? That seems like a long time.
It's not really that long a time. I mean, again, during the Clinton trial, the House had 3 days. If you're gonna try to get in as much as you want to get in, knowing that the rules allow this to be dismissed without witnesses, then you've got to do a lot more in what amounts to an opening statement than you usually do, because you do not know whether you're going to have a chance to make some of your key points or to basically lay out your evidence in the course of sort of ordinary interviews, ordinary witness deposition, et cetera, et cetera. And so that is not, that certainly it's less time than they had during Clinton, but they're trying to do more than the opening statements were trying to do during Clinton. So it's really not that big a time period.
It's got to be a big time period to have that many senators be quiet. But other than that...
Well, it is. But what I'm saying is, to answer your question, could this go 3 or 4 weeks or longer? Mm-hmm. It could. But Mitch McConnell is trying to get it done basically within a week. He wants the opening statements on both sides, the opening presentations, which will be fairly extensive on both sides. And then he wants a motion to dismiss and to say, okay, you haven't proved your case. You're not going to prove your case. Let's vote now. That's what he wants to do. He wants it over within a week.
Well, I mean, how could he, other than people within the Republican Party dissenting and not going along, he can get what he wants, can't he?
Well, it depends. I mean, it's really going to depend on the 3 to 6 Republican senators who are known to be on the fence. And those would be Murkowski, Collins, Alexander, Romney, Richard Burr, and maybe some of the retiring senators who don't have to face the voters again, like Pat Roberts of Kansas, maybe Rob Portman of Ohio, who is going to run for re-election, but he's sort of an institutionalist. So, again, 5 or 6 of them, if they stay with McConnell, he can shut it down quickly. If they don't stay with McConnell, then this could go 3 or 4 weeks.
Yes, a little primer on what happens today, starting today in Washington. Quinn, remind folks, if they've not picked up a copy of the trilogy, any of the books or all three, tell them how to get it. And what's it called?
It's the Mad Jones trilogy, also known as the Accidental Prophet trilogy. But three books called Mad Jones Heretic, Mad Jones Hero, Mad Jones Agonist is available at Amazon.com.
All right, and the website and where they can read most of your writing.
Well, most of my writing, if you just Google Quinn Hilliard, Washington Examiner, these days you'll get 95% of it. But if you want it summed up about once a week, please go to QuinnHilliard.com, push the subscribe button. It's free, and you can see it there. And, of course, I'm on Twitter. I'm at Quinn Hilliard.
We appreciate it, Quinn. Thanks. We'll check back with you next week.
Thank you. Bye.
Quinn Hilliard, and now on to you. And the phone's at 343-0106. A little primer of what happens today in the Senate. We'll be covering it during Midday Mobile. It's 8:23. Coming right back. All right, 8:28 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Dr. Bill's on the way with our forecast. If I have time, I want to get into, I'll have an admission for y'all, shocking admission, and a story about it that's out now when it comes to the discussion of impeachment. But we'll save that for a second because I want to check in my buddy Walt in downtown Somerdale. Hey, Walt.
How y'all doing this morning?
Hey, I'm good, man.
Good.
How are you?
When I was listening to y'all earlier this morning, when you were talking about the laziest state.
Yes, CDC. You know, CDC is listed what they say are the laziest states based on a few parameters, yep.
Okay, well, evidently they must have really got the worst, laziest, stupidest people in the state of Alabama.
Yeah.
Because one, you know, from where I park to my stand is at least 400 yards. So, I mean, that's a pretty good walk.
You don't drive the four-wheeler.
So I'm not, quote, you know, at a gym exercising, and I'm not in my fancy la-di-da britches and stuff walking around. But, you know, for that time of the season.
Park under the stand? You don't park the four-wheeler under the stand?
Oh, no.
Okay.
No.
All right, good. No. Just checking.
And then, you know, and before that season rolls around, we have another season where we are constantly going from our chair to our feet, flapping our arms and screaming at this little box with colors on it.
Yeah.
You know, no, we're not at a gym doing jumping jacks or on a machine, but that's exercise.
Yeah, it's aerobic exercise to cheer on your college football team.
And lots of curls during those, too.
Yeah, 12 ounces.
Oh, well, see, that was the next point. You know, we exercise, we lift weights either on Friday afternoon or Saturday morning, preparing for this college football game activity.
Well said. So we're doing anaerobic and aerobic activity on Saturdays.
Correct. And then, of course, you know, we eat very lean meat, you know.
Yeah.
Deer, duck, fish, dove.
Right.
Turkey. There's no fat in those animals. I mean, you know, once you take one down, you got to go get it and pick it up, drag it back. So that's weightlifting and aerobic exercise.
Well said. Well said. Walt, we need to get those details to the CDC. You make solid points, brother. Thanks for the call. Coming right back. More of Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5.
8:36 on Mobile Mornings. You're listening to FM Talk 106.5. Let's head over to McConnell Automotive, where we talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
All right, Dalton, how are you, buddy?
I am doing great, and you want to get a good buy on a new vehicle, head over to McConnell. You got some 0% financing going on right now.
Yeah, Dalton, you know what's so great about this? The people will go to our website, which is just McConnellAutomotive.com. They'll check it out, and somebody listening, Dalton, is probably paying a 4%, 5%, 6%, 7% interest rate, which is a good rate, but they need to come trade in and get, you know, we can get a new Yukon, the new truck for 72 months, the Yukon for 60 months, and pretty much every Buick SUV we have, buddy, right now, 0%. And if people do some math, it can lower a payment $80, $90, $100, you know, and if you're sending that money to the bank every month, let it be paying for your vehicle. Instead of interest is what I say, and man, it's only going on now till the end of the month.
That is a great deal, and if someone wants to see what you have in stock, McConnellAutomotive.com is a great resource.
Yeah, it's an easy place to shop, and I think what people love is our honest prices. Nobody ever shows up at our dealership frustrated with us like they do a lot of places, because if we advertise it, we sell it for that, and on top of the 0%, buddy, you'll see some huge discounts, and we hope people, you know, between now and the end of the month, take advantage of it, because there's no way to go lower than 0%, Dalton.
That's right. No way to go below zero. We appreciate it, Mitch.
All right, buddy. Y'all have a great Tuesday.
All right. That's Mitch McConnell, McConnellAutomotive.com, or go see him in person on Dolphin Street just east of I-65.
All right, grab some phone calls at 343-0106, 343-0106. Also works on the text line. Text coming in about this. This one, good for McConnell. Wrap it up. And I would agree on a couple different levels. I saw this story. A couple places have it up, but I'm getting it from NBC. Well, here's Newsbusters reporting on NBC.
Okay.
NBC did the story. Newsbusters did a story about them doing the story. Said on Saturday, NBC's Today Show. Who knew they had a Today Show on Saturday?
I did not.
I have not tuned in. Devoted an entire report to how voters in key swing states were suffering from, quote, impeachment fatigue, end quote.
Hmm.
The segment highlighted concerned Democrats fearing the attempted removal of President Trump from office was overshadowing the 2020 campaign. So that's Democrats. They said Republicans were found to be more energized heading into the election. Traveling from one county to another in Michigan, Iowa, and Ohio over the past few months, correspondent Dasha Burns witnessed voters becoming increasingly worn out and uninterested in the latest impeachment developments. Quote, but as hearings carried on, concerns set in for even Democratic voters, she observed. One Democrat in Michigan told her, I think it's going to impact the Democratic primary more than it's going to end up ever removing Trump from office. Talking to another Democrat voter in Dubuque County, Iowa, Burns wondered, are you concerned that all the attention surrounding the impeachment inquiry is overshadowing other issues? The other identified man said, I think that's what people are unfortunately paying attention to, is they think the entire Congress is paralyzed. Well, I'm going to point out that she had a very leading question to the man on the street there, who I think was in a bar or coffee shop.
That's even better than man on the street, man in the bar.
Yes, which is where they should get, by the way, local news, TV stations, instead of man on the street, instead of standing out in front of a box store and getting reaction, can you start going into bars to get man on the street? And then you could tell your bosses, be like, I was not goofing off having a beer and a hamburger. I was
working.
I was working. She asked another liberal voter, do you think that this process is changing anyone's mind? That person responded, no, I don't think so. In contrast, a reporter noted, for Republicans, impeachment has made them dig in more. One Republican in Iowa proclaimed he was becoming more and more a supporter of Donald Trump, and I think a lot of people in this area are the same way. A woman announced, well, the Trump supporters that I talk to are definitely more leaning towards Trump than they ever were in 2016. So it goes down through the story and then gets into a discussion of impeachment fatigue. Now, part of this angle is that the Democrats, at least in this one story that NBC reported, and just the people she talked to with leading questions, Democrats thought that the impeachment proceedings were getting in the way of Democrat chances in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty solid. We've been talking about that for quite a while, that the Democrats in the House, Pelosi et al., Schiff, have overplayed the hand. And what they thought was going to be a winner might be a loser for them.
And that's a big reason, I think, why initially Pelosi and some of the more senior members in the Democratic House didn't want to impeach, even though they don't like the president at all and don't want him to be in office. They saw this happening. I think so. And a huge reason that the president was able to win his campaign in 2016 was just the massive amounts of airtime that he got from every single cable news station. I mean, everywhere you turned, the president was, or mm-hmm. soon to be president, was on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And look at what's happening going into this election year. I mean, he was likely to be on TV anyway, because that's just the way that the president rolls. But with this impeachment hearing, you hear about it every single day. Every single hour you turn on Fox News or CNN or MSNBC, they're talking about the president. And so he's getting, again, just tons and tons of screen time heading into an election. And I can't remember the exact quote, and I don't remember if it was an athlete or a politician or a celebrity that said, any press is good press, even if it's bad press.
Mm-hmm.
And when you need millions and millions of people, right,
yes.
When you need millions of people to vote for you, it might hurt him with some voters, some of the accusations that are flying around, but just having his name coming out of the mouths of anchors and reporters every single day, I think only helps his presidency. And imagine if they shut down this impeachment trial here in the next couple of weeks or whenever it ends, as long as they don't vote to remove him from office, how much ammunition you just gave the president on the campaign trail and how much he's going to use the fact that they tried to remove him from office while he's running for president or running for his reelection.
Well, think about this. I mean, this and the nuance is interesting to me here. In this story, it said a woman announced, well, the Trump supporters that I talked to are definitely more leaning towards Trump than they ever were in 2016. So you take, and I think the cement's fairly dry, you know, out there. I don't think there's a whole bunch of independent voters that are waiting to see, you know, to choose between President Trump and Democrat. There's some, but there's just not many. But what it does is it could get people to the polls that might not before. And I think what this woman describes here in her comment is somebody who may be, you know, like some things the president does, doesn't like other things the president does, but sees this witch hunt, as the president called it, going on, and says, you know, I'm not his biggest fan, but to heck with this. This is unfair, what's going on. And it may motivate them. It won't change their mind, but it motivates them to go vote when they might not before.
Mm.
Right? They might have been like, nah, whatever happens. Now this thing is a motivator. That's one of the nuances here. And the other nuance, I think, they talk about the impeachment fatigue. Like I said, I have an admission here. And I do this for a living, and maybe that's why. But every day there being some new twist and turn, and there's some of y'all that follow this like it's your stories, you know, and you're texting me and emailing me each day with some subtle change in it, and you're like, what's your reaction to that? At some point, you have, if every day there's three or four things you got to have a reaction to,
mm-hmm.
it ends up being mind-numbing. I'm somebody that is bothered by the fact, even though I joke about it being good that the Congress is tied up with this and Senate's not going to be doing any other work than this for the period of time, 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, or whatever. I'm somebody that sees this as a big distraction from the bigger subjects out there facing our republic. And I see this as being a soap opera. And maybe that's why there are some people that absolutely cotton to this and they get into it. They love every little twist and turn. I'm more of a bigger picture kind of person. That's just who I am. Doesn't mean I'm right and you're wrong. It just means that's who I am. And so the nitty gritty detail of this stuff and the I got you and I got you and I got you mm-hmm. of this ends up callousing a part of my brain, and maybe I too am guilty of suffering from some of this impeachment fatigue.
Yeah, if you look at America as a football team, and we've got whoever our opponent might be out there on the field waiting for us, Russia, China, you mm-hmm. name the country, we're a football team that's constantly has infighting and,
right.
and can't even make it out onto the field sometimes because we're busy fighting in the locker room and can't get along. You said that, you know, and I agree, most people are dyed in the wool at this point. They're either going to vote for Trump or they're not going to vote for Trump. But on the Democratic side of things, with the caucuses coming up, the Iowa caucus first, and then eventually the rest of the primaries, I'm not so sure that most Democrats will vote and rally behind one candidate. I mean, we just saw the New York Times, they came out and endorsed two Democratic primary candidates. And they wanted to get one from the far left and more of a, moderate Democrat. So they endorsed Klobuchar and Warren. Elizabeth Warren.
Right. Who did they not endorse?
They did not endorse Bernie Sanders, did not endorse Pete Buttigieg, but they might as
no
well
Biden,
have.
No Biden, no Sanders. Well, Because I wanted you to finish your thought, but I'm going to add something to it, so go ahead.
Okay, so what I'm saying is whoever makes it out of this Democratic primary and represents that side in the presidential election. If it's a moderate, if you get a Biden or a Buttigieg or a Klobuchar, I don't see the most liberal people that that love everything that AOC and the squad does, and I don't see them lining up to vote for Biden or to vote for Buttigieg. And also, you know, if Bernie Sanders wins the nomination, I think there are a lot of more centrist Democrats that just won't be able to go vote for him. So at this point, I think the right is far more united than the left.
Okay. So what about this? Bernie Sanders, whether, and I think you can prove there's a lot of truth to it, was given the shaft in the last cycle,
mm-hmm.
right? And the Democrat machine kept Bernie Sanders out. And we could talk about superdelegates and all that stuff. So if it happens again, and it's not, unless it's so clear that Bernie Sanders did not have the support and he doesn't get it, will the Sanders supporters, which there are a lot of Sanders supporters, will they stay home? Now, that's the idea that they would be crossover, that's not going to happen. But will they stay home? Would the Bernie Sanders folks at twice then, let's say it happens that there's some kind of deal and he doesn't get the nomination and they feel like it was a rotten deal again, will they not show up? And if they don't show up, what does that do to whoever ends up being the Democrat nominee? So, I mean, that's part of it. It's just the... but you know, they're back at it in the Senate today, and we'll talk about this when we get back. But it is, I think I'm not the only one that some people eat it up and love the and want a reaction to every detail. And people are like three levels down from the president. And then they said this, mm-hmm. and they're doing such and such. I mean, heck, y'all, I do this for a living, and I get fatigued by it. To me, it's people are way easier to get them to comment and have a reaction to a cult of personality, whoever their person is. That's President Trump, that's Pelosi, that's something, versus ideas. Ideas are not as interesting as saying this person bad, this person good.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so much of that in this discussion that I think there are Americans that have thrown their hands up and are fatigued with it on both sides.
So, I agree.
Just a theory. We'll grab your calls when we get back at 343-0106, 343-0106. Holding on to the cold temp, still 31 now at the FM Talk 106.5 studios. High may not make 50 today. Wow. Well, it's January. Yeah, it's January. It's supposed to do that. All right, forget about it. All right, this is Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5, brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. You made that New Year's resolution to get organized in 2020. Pro tip here, a lot easier to get organized when you have less stuff. How about that, huh? How about that for a hot take? Let my buddy Trey help you out and get rid of the junk with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Could be at your home, office, storage unit, wherever you got junk, he can show up and make it disappear. And it's pretty darn easy to make that appointment as well. You go to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com or pick up the phone and call 1-800-GOT-JUNK. They'll set a day and a time that works for both of you, and then they'll show up, quote your price. If you say yes, they get to work and get the junk gone and get you on the way to completing your New Year's resolution of getting organized in 2020. It's 1-800-GOT-JUNK online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Dalton, you were mentioning a tweet here from, was it a tweet or just a comment?
It's part of a story.
Hillary.
Yeah, huh? Hillary Clinton gets the cover on Hollywood Reporter. You're wondering, why is Hillary getting the cover?
I was wondering the same, yes.
She's got a new four-part Hulu documentary series coming out, and I guess it's premiering soon at Sundance, and I'm sure we'll all be tuning into that. But she's got comments about Bernie Sanders, of course, her 2016 mm-hmm. primary challenger, and harsh words. She says, he was in Congress for years. He had one senator support him. Nobody likes him. Nobody wants to work with him. He got nothing done. He was a career politician. It's all just baloney, and I feel so bad that people got sucked into it.
Okay. So nobody likes him.
Nobody likes him.
You see the crowds that showed up for Bernie?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Compare the crowds that show up for Hillary. Okay. All right. And if I and tell you what, and don't say, oh, I wouldn't go with either of them. If you had a choice, you had to get lunch with either Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders, who would it be? With me, it's like no hesitation.
Mm.
I'd disagree with him like 97% of the time. I'd go have lunch with Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, I mean, that's tough, but yeah.
I'd go with Hillary?
No, I wouldn't go with Bernie.
I think that's what you're saying.
I would go with Bernie, not Hillary, but if I did go with Hillary, I'd probably keep an eye on my plate and drink. the entire time.
Say, Noah, you take a sip of the drink first. Right, let's go to Buck and Hurley. First up, hey, Buck.
Hey, fellas, y'all doing all right?
All right, man. Good. How are you?
I'm good. I would definitely go to lunch with Bernie, although I may not be a Bernie supporter, but I wouldn't go to lunch with Hillary. I didn't want to get suicided.
Right. So what do you think here on this impeachment fatigue?
You know, I think my fatigue is much more serious than that. I have partisan politics fatigue.
Well said.
Where you would just rather your country fail than a president succeed. And I'm not saying that because President Trump is the president. I felt the same way, actually, when Obama was president, although I didn't support most of what it was that he stood for. As you know, I'm more of a libertarian, mm-hmm. an independent voter. I just am very pro-American.
That's what we should all be, you know? I mean, that should galvanize us.
Certainly. I think if we were to have term limits and get some of these career politicians out of government and not allow them to stay up there for 20 or 30 years, people having to die to get out of office. You go back and you look at Thad Cochran of Mississippi, right. And the list goes on, when people have been up there 40 or 50 years. They are completely out of touch with folks like you and I.
Well said. Buck, appreciate the call. Run out of time on this edition. Not to worry. We'll be back at noon today for Midday Mobile.
Keith says, keep in mind, if you go to lunch with Bernie, you'll be paying.
Right.
For he'll forget his wallet.
For mine and his and probably some people at the table next to us. Well said, Keith. Well said. But it would be an entertaining conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think he would. I think you'd be just fine. I don't think he's going to put anything in your drink.
One of the funniest memes right now is Bernie brushing off Tom Steyer every single time he tries to say hey to Bernie. He's just old man rude to him.
Well, Bernie's earned that right, hadn't he? All right, 8:58, Mike Gallagher on the way next. See y'all at noon.